My name is Milo, and I'm from the Josh Gene Durbanville AM congregation. And this is my first time out, so I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna stand right here. I'm so nervous now. I just want to first say, before I just tell you a little bit about me, I just want to see the visitors, if there are visitors here, not from Durbanville, but if this is your first time in Josh Gene anyway, can I just see those hands again, please? Oh man, welcome to church. It's so good having you here. Man, I really hope you feel like this is family. I'm that brother that they said, oh, where'd he come from? And I'm just there for Sunday lunch. So I really hope you guys like just really have an encounter with Jesus today. That's our hearts, is that people encounter to Jesus. I also just want to say thank you to my friends that have journeyed, oh my gosh, so far from the northern suburbs to this place. And what a trip it was. Man, you guys have the most spectacular views here in the Western Cape. My gosh, it only gets better wherever we go. And then, let me introduce myself now properly. So, my name is Milo. I'm married to that amazing lady, Allison. I won't make a stand because you still won't see her. I've got three young kids. The oldest, his name is Judah, and he is 15 this year. I'm just making sure. Yes. And then my second oldest, his name is Jaden. And he is 12. Hey, it's Father's Day. I've got grace today. So I can make a mistake like that. And then my youngest, my princess, her name is Rebecca. And I was joking, I was chatting to the guys in the meeting, and if you've never heard my story, my kids are different in color. They go lighter as they get younger. So my oldest, he's like two, three shades lighter than me. And then Jaden is a shade lighter than Judah. And Rebecca is like snow. She's white, man. And I keep joking that there's actually four, but I ran out of ink No, I'm just joking. We only have four. We only have three. We only have three. Woo! So we only have three kids, and those are mine. And and I feel very privileged and honored today, because today is, like we said, it's Father's Day, but it's also Youth Day. And today, I sit in a service with my dad. Yes, he gets to celebrate Father's Day, and so do I. But I also get to go and eat for free at Panarottis because my dad is here. So I celebrate Youth Day as well. So just a little bit of background so you know. Normally, I would put a photo up about to show you my family, they say, because once you see the chaos, you'd feel sorry and you'd listen intently. But a little bit of background about my family. We are originally from a dorpie called Secunda. Oh, that is scary that people know where Secunda is. I have come to find that more people in Cape Town know where Secunda is than people around Secunda. That's the weirdest thing. So we're from Secunda. I was born and raised. That's why, you know, acid rain, I survive in anything. And my wife and I, we planted a church here in Cape Town 6 years ago. Packed up our kids. We were from an NCMI background. We planted a church here in Durbanville, And man, we were just so excited to get this going. But then COVID happened and everything changed. And we made friends with another church that had planted called Prodeo. So when we planted a church, we called it Lighthouse Church Cape Town. But like 2 months into us planting, we found just down the road there was a Lighthouse Church Ministries, and they're way bigger than us. And so I believe a lot of our visitors went there. And so we helped, you know, no, I'm just joking. And so after COVID, with this other church, we decided, well, they had a venue, we had people, we didn't have a venue, and so we decided as friends, why have two small churches when we can do church together? We decided, let's think kingdom over here. And so we became, we joined up with Prodeum, and then we actually ended up taking, leading the church. They handed the church over to us, and that pastor that started it, they immigrated to Canada. And our journey was, we were just going to see where Jesus was going to take us on this journey. But we lost our venue, and there everything changed. We were doing churches everywhere. You name it, we did church there. Stokenicore, we did church there. It is amazingly expensive to do church there. But, I mean, we were in boardrooms, we were everywhere, and we felt at a stage in our walk with Prodeo that there was something missing. And we knew what it was, but we weren't sure what it was. And so when we started praying, and I walked up to my wife and I told her, like, we need an apostolic voice into our church. And we met up with a friend of ours whose daughter and my daughter are friends in school. And he told us, like, hey, why don't you connect with our lead elder? And that is where our journey with Josh Jen started. And that was a year ago. And so in that year of us connecting with Josh Jen, we just wanted them to come in and tell us, hey, what is not working here? Come speak into our lives. Be that apostolic voice. But what happened was that voice actually said, hey, why don't you guys become a part of us? And so last year, August, we transitioned the church from being all on our own. And this is true. He puts the lonely, not into a church, but he puts the lonely into family. And last year, August, we became part of Josh Jen. And this is our story. And here we are. So now you know where we come from and what we are all about. So I want to talk to you today. All about, my message is all about prayer. It's just something over the past couple of weeks that has been really just bubbling up inside of me because of an interaction I had with a friend that was going through something really chaotic that I haven't seen for a couple of years. And when I spoke to him, I'm like, well, we're not going to wait until we see each other. I'm going to pray for you over the phone. Have you guys ever had that moment where someone asks you, hey, will you pray for me? And you go, yeah. And then you walk away. And then 2 weeks later, it's like, oh, man, Lord, bless this food and that person. Amen. How many of you guys have had that experience? And so I thought, no, we're not going to wait until we see each other. We're going to pray for each other right there. And on the phone, I prayed for this guy. And over the next couple of weeks, we got together and started praying, and we could start seeing the difference that God was doing in the situation that they found themselves in. And this just reminded me, even through our plant and everything, that I am a product of prayer. Quickly. I'm a product of prayer because my mom prayed when she found out she was pregnant with her third child. She prayed, Lord, give me a son. I've got two older sisters. And she's like, they're chaos. I need a son, Lord. And I was born. And I'm like, okay, prayer works. So I'm a product of prayer. My wife prayed for me when she wanted a husband. She's like, Lord, I want this guy with broad shoulders and a good tan. And I told her, just hold on, next time you pray, could you also just tell God, six-pack and money as well with some hair? She's like, but then you wouldn't have been here. I would have just looked better. But in any case, so product of prayer. When we decided we were going to start a family, we decided we're going to pray for our kids. I desperately wanted to change something in our family line. Because my dad is the youngest of three with two older sisters. I am the youngest of three with two older sisters. And at the time, both my dad's older sister and my older sister weren't married. And I'm like, Lord, something needs to change here. And so we prayed, Lord, give us a son so we could break the cycle. And he gave us Judah. So Judah was an answered prayer. He was a product of prayer. And then when we decided, oh, wait, Judah needs, you know, like, we've got one kid. We need another one to entertain them. So we decided, okay, Lord, we're going to pray for another kid. So we prayed for Jaden. Jaden came. Jaden was a boy. And we're like, yes, he's got a friend. And then we found out Judah came over and he's like, Mom, I prayed for a baby sister. I'm like, oh, snap. And then she came and we haven't stopped praying. So we are all products of prayer. You sitting here, me standing here, is a product of someone that has prayed for this. I mean, Josh Jen started with Andrew Seeley meeting with a few people in a house and praying, Lord, use me. And here we are. And this is what a product of prayer looks like. And just because we are the product of prayer doesn't mean that prayer stops with us. It's supposed to continue through us. And so, to the title of my sermon, and for the next 2 hours, I'm going to be preaching on... This is my title. Day by Day. Because we're going to be talking about prayer and how we become devoted to this action of prayer. And how many of you guys know that saying, practice makes perfect? I want to encourage us to rather reinvent that word and say practice makes permanent. Because the more you practice, the more permanent a habit becomes. And so that is what we want to talk about. So before we start, can we just pray? Lord, we ask, do what only you can do in this moment. You change hearts. You impact lives. And Lord, thank you that we get to meet you today. So we worship you, our King. I pray that as we just open your word, just give us revelation in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verses 42. It's a scripture that we all know. It's the story of, or it's the account of when the church was just growing and people were being added to the church in the New Testament church in the Bible. And it says this, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And let me just break that up. They said they. When they said they weren't talking about the apostles at that moment. They were talking about everybody that became a believer. They devoted themselves. The guys the men and women that had this cutting to the heart and wanted to become, when they heard this gospel, they said, we want to become more like Jesus. What do we have to do? And so they devoted themselves, which means they made a decision to make certain things a priority in their lives. You see, that is what devoted means. It means to prioritize something above everything else in mind and action. And devotion is not a rule. We need to understand that. Me coming in here saying we have to be devoted to something is not a rule. It's a heart decision. It's something that you decide on your own that you're going to do. Any sports fans here? Show of hands. Soccer fans? Football fans? Let me get that. Let's see. Man City fans? Liverpool fans? Arsenal fans? There we go. United fans? Wow, there's more of them. Chelsea fans? Quakwa Stars. They don't play anymore. Okay. How many of you that support teams have children that support the same team? 1, 2. How many of you have kids that support a different team? Because it's their decision to do that. And that is what devotion is all about. It's not that we say you have to do that, as we encourage you to do something. And these guys came together and they devoted all that they were to four things at the time. To the teaching of the scriptures by the apostles, to fellowship with each other, to breaking of bread, and number four, to praying. And so, we need to make sure that when we read the scripture, it's not a rule or something we place on ourselves, but a decision we want to make inside of us. I started gymming. I went to gym last year. This year, I actually went in, and I started my health walk. So the thing about gym was you have to go every day. Because if you miss out on a day or a week, how many of you guys know when you come back next week, it's as tough as when you first started. But in it, you're gymming, your muscles get sore, but it's the whole thing of you have to keep going over and over. But what I came to realize is that you don't do the same thing on Tuesday that you did on Wednesday. Monday, you do something. Tuesday, you do something different. Wednesday, you change it up all the way through to Friday. And then you rest Saturday and Sunday. You're still going to get the full workout, but there are different areas of your body that you have to work on. Otherwise, you're going to look like this. Friends, don't let friends skip leg day. I have not gone to leg day at all. It's awful. And you see, devotion is the same thing. Devotion to mind, just like a workout, isn't a one-day thing. Prayer is not a Sunday thing. Prayer is not a problem thing. It's a daily habit. And habits don't happen overnight. It develops over a period of time. One of my friends challenged me to have a cold shower every morning. Last year, October. We are nearly a year in and have no idea what hot water feels like. Why? Because it's a habit that you have to develop. If you don't make it a habit, it just becomes a thing that you do and that you leave it aside. Where the word encourages us to become devoted to prayer, which means we have to do it every day. That is what Paul means when he writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:7, pray continually. He doesn't mean pray every minute of every day, but he says pray continually. That is what devotion is. I can be devoted to my wife. Wait, let me rewind that. I am devoted to my wife, but that doesn't mean I hang on her every single minute of the day. It means everything I do in my life is affected by my devotion to her. The decisions I make, I devote it to her. So I'm not just going to go out and buy a new car. I'm going to sit down and talk to her about it. I'm not just going to look at certain things that I shouldn't because I'm devoted to her. You see, devotion changes who we are. And that's the same thing when it comes to a life devoted to prayer. It becomes something that we do that affects the way we are. So when Paul writes, pray continually, he's actually saying, pray when it's good. When things are going well in your life, pray. When things are going bad in your life, pray. When you're sick, pray. When you're healthy, pray. When you want something, pray. When you want something to leave, pray. Pray continually, and just like training, you do it every day. We started this thing in our house where before you go to bed, we all get together and we pray. Now we're teaching our kids how to be devoted to scripture, to fellowship, and mostly prayer. And prayer in the evenings, how many of you guys know, kids will pray the same thing over and over. Lord, help me with my exams. Make that awful teacher a better person. Amen. But we've encouraged them. On certain nights, we said, you're not allowed to ask God for anything. It's just giving thanks. Do you know how difficult it is to pray just thankfulness to God? Because we are creatures of habit. And so whenever we go to God, it's all about, Lord, me, this is my problem. This is what I've been going through. Can you help me? But sometimes we need to change it. Now, this is the thing. Remember, we spoke about gym. You're going to go get healthy, but one day you're going to work shoulders, the next day leg, the next day back, and it's the same when it comes to prayer. Sometimes we're going to have prayers of, what is the word? Adoration. Tell God how amazing He is. We're going to have prayers of thankfulness. Lord, thank you for what you've done in my life. We're going to have prayers of confession. Lord, I'm really sorry. Sometimes we sit there and I've just shouted at the kids. And I've told them they can move out the house or something like that. And then I have to actually pray, Lord, forgive me for how I treated them. Because they need to see that model. And they need to understand that God is not just a God of fluffiness. He's a God of, hey, you did something wrong. There's this thing called repentance and we need to be sorry about it. Our hearts need to change and we need to turn away. So we teach them that. And then there are prayers of supplication where we pray and we ask God, these are our requests. Help us do it. So to become devoted to prayer, it needs to become something we do more than just in our quiet time. More than just when we have supper. More than just the flashlight prayer. You know what that is? When you see the blue light or you see that hand in the white glove going. When the coppers jump out, then we pray for everything. Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. May I not have this fine. Bless that man and the president. Those are flashlight prayers. But it needs to be more than that. Prayer needs to be something that we do daily. Have a look around. Quickly, just scan. Find the weak person. No, I'm just joking. Just, how often do you pray for the person behind you? How often do we walk up to people and instead of just going, hey, how are you doing? Go, this is what God has laid on my heart and I've been praying for you this whole week. That is what a devoted life of prayer is all about. It's coming together and just going, hey, let's pray. Or being at home and going, hey, I am going to pray. Or riding in the car, I saw this really cool video it was an ad for people to pray. And there's this guy, he's walking around and he's in a club and he goes, can you hear me now? He goes, yes, good. Okay, and then he walks away. Then the next scene, he's like riding, he's sitting in the classroom and he's like, can you hear me now? He goes, good. And he gets up and he leaves. And he goes through all these things. And the last one is, he goes and sits in one of these cubicles, you know, those porta potties. And it's showing it from the outside, and all you hear is, can you hear me now? Good, yes. And then the slogan comes up, God can hear you wherever you are. Pray. And that is what life should be like when we're riding in the car and we're seeing something. God will put someone on our heart or something on our heart, and we go, Lord, I want to pray into that. My wife for a long time didn't take me to the supermarket, not because I'm weird, but because we'd go into a shop and she'd lose me. I'm not a big guy. I'm easy to lose, apparently. But she'd walk away and she'd turn around and she goes, where is this guy? And she'd go, I know exactly where he is. And she'd walk down the aisles looking for me and I'd be with someone praying for them. There'd be a lady that, there was this lady at Woolies, she was trying to get something on the top shelf, an elderly lady. But she was hunched over. And I just walked up to her and I'm like, hey, ma'am, can I help you? She's like, yes, can you grab me that thing? And I got it down for her and I gave it to her. And we just started a conversation. And I'm like, do you mind if I just pray for you? In the middle of Woolworths. And I prayed for her and she was hunched over. And when she was done, she stood up and she walked. And I went, oh, did you see that? I'm like, hey, ma'am, how long could you do that? Do what? Stand up. She's like, I can't. And she was standing straight. I'm like, look, you're standing straight. And I'm like, come on. That's because when it's a life of devotion, it's not about who's watching. It's about who we're praying to. It's not about show. And that is what it is. So Craig was sharing that life should be like, our prayer life should be like this thing on a foofy slide. Was it foofy slide? A zip line. We call it a foofy slide. Shows you where I'm from. I'm old. A zip line where it goes from one point to the other and it just keeps going. And he said, Lord, let's run at your pace. And I'm like, dude, I weigh so much. That thing's going to go so fast. I can't run at that pace. But I get it. And this is the thing. It's not going from one extreme to another like a treetop where you swing and we live for experiences. But it goes from one place to the other constantly. And that is what a life of devotion in prayer should be like. That it keeps moving. And so I want you to understand this, that God responds when we pray. Matthew 14, 28, verse 33. It's the story where the disciples are crossing over in a boat and Jesus comes down from his time of doing what? Praying. And there's the storm. And Jesus walks onto the water and the disciples see him and they are all freaked out. And then we pick it up from verse 28. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And so I looked at this thing and I'm like, hold up. Jesus responded to both of Peter's requests. Because Peter asked God, can you call me out of this boat? And what did Jesus do? He responded, come. And that is our lives. We go, Lord, I want this job. I want this relationship. I want to be able to go here. I want to do that. And Jesus will respond to whatever your request is. But something I need us to understand is Peter, when he saw the waves, he started sinking, right? But we keep missing the fact that the storm was going before he climbed out the boat. So we get out of the boat, we ask God for these requests, and there is still a storm happening around us. And when God gives us what we want, we get into that place of comfortability, busyness, and then we look around and we see, oh wait, here is a problem. We shouldn't stop focusing on God and sending our devotion to Him just because we got what we asked for. But have a look at this. He's a faithful God. That in that moment when he started sinking and it was a problem, Lord, save us. Save me. And what did Jesus do? He responded. You see, God responds to our prayers. And just something, I just want to jump into quickly. Prayer expresses our dependency in God. We need to be dependent on Him and in Him. Last year, August, we had to move into a new house. And it was one of those occasions where we had to move within the next couple of days. How many of you guys have ever moved like that? Guys, you need to be out now. And for those who don't know our family, we've got a lot of stuff. And so what we did was we moved our house in 2 days. My wife, my kids, and myself. We packed everything into a big trailer. We moved it. We came back. We moved stuff. We came back. 2 days. And every time we talk about it, my wife is still upset with me. When you talk about that move, she goes, ugh. You know why? Because the moment we had unpacked and people started to come to us, they asked, why did you not ask for help? And my wife looks at me, is like, why didn't you ask for help? Hey, Milo, big boy, you think you can do everything? But it's really, I can't tell you why I didn't. It could be pride. It could be anything. There was just something that I knew we needed to do it then, and we had to get it done. And a lot of us live our lives like this, where we go, you know what? I need to do this, so I'm going to do it now. And God is just going there. You can ask. When are you going to include me into this? Let me take you to another scripture here quickly. Judges 3, verse 14 to 15. Now, if you go and read the book of Judges in chapter 3, they all start the same way. And the Israelites did bad in the sight of God. And he handed them over. And they were oppressed. And so here in Judges 3:14, it says, and the people of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. Then the people of then, check this out, then the people of Israel cried out to the Lord, and the Lord raised up for them a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, a left-handed man. Milo, why didn't you ask for help? In this context, as we read the scripture, it didn't take God 18 years to respond. It took the Israelites 18 years to ask. When they asked, he responded. Can we be those people that go, Lord, I know this is big, but can you help me? He is standing there going, why didn't you ask? I'm waiting to help you. While we were riding here, my wife shared with me something that God just put on her heart for this message. And I'm just going to share it with you guys. She believes that God wants to reignite prayers that you guys have stopped praying. Things you have been pursuing that is good, but you thought it will never work out. Dreams that you have that you've laid aside, but God didn't say it should be dead. Passions that are inside of you that you need to reignite the prayer for, because God is going, those prayers are good. Just ask. And so what I want to do right now is I just want to ask you guys to close your eyes quickly. And I want to pray this over you. Lord, where we have given prayers away, or where we have stopped praying for something because our lives were too busy and we thought we'll never achieve that, or we can't do this, I pray that you will reveal those prayers again to them, their heart's desires, so that this time around they will include you and they will not give up. So if that's you, I want to keep your eyes closed. I just want you to raise your hand as God showing you something that you've stopped praying for, that you feel, oh, Lord, can I pray for this again? Oh, that is so good. That is so good. Lord, I pray, reveal to everybody now that you are in it with him. I want to encourage you that he's a God that responds. Thank you. You can put down your hands. And so, Father, I pray that we will not give up on praying to you and seeking you for the things that you have placed. Life might have happened, but hey, Lord, that has given us experience, and I pray that you would take us from where we are to where you need us to. May we not give up. Amen. You see, a life of prayer is a thing that we have to do daily. Throughout Scripture, we see Jesus modeled and taught what prayer is. He'd move away and he'd pray on his own. He'd teach them how to pray in terms of what to say, but also in how to continue in prayer. One of the scriptures he even it says, keep praying so that you will not lose heart. And so that's what we want to do today. We want to start a devotion to prayer. And something that I just want to ask is, it's easy to start it. Maybe you can find someone in your home group that you want to pray for. One of your leaders, pray for them. So on Monday, pray for your spouse, pray for a family member. On Tuesday, pray for someone in your comp. On Wednesday, pray for your church. On Thursday, pray for someone in your comp. On Friday, pray for your boss. On Saturday, make a request to God. On Sunday, come together and pray together. It's as simple as that. It's never easy. How many of you guys know something could be simple, but never easy? But it all starts with, how do I get this habit going?